Take your Bibles, if you would, please, tonight. Let's open up to Galatians, Galatians chapter number 4 in the Word of God this evening. Galatians chapter number 4 in the Word of God tonight. And I haven't been able to look around the auditorium, not as much as I usually do, but I do see several visitors who are here with us tonight. And we just want to welcome you to our services. And thank you so much for choosing Cross Point Baptist Church this evening. I pastored in West Virginia for 10 years. And our church there, George is already laughing, I pastored there for 10 years, and it was Bible Baptist Church. And when we came to Cross Point Baptist Church, I kind of say the same things. You know, my wife and I will be at the back. On Sunday mornings, we'd love to shake your hand, find out where you're from, get to know you a little bit better. I say the same thing every week. Like, you know it. You got it down by heart. Let me tell you, after 10 years of saying Bible Baptist Church, then you come to Cross Point, it's a little bit of a crossover. And I remember, like, the second or probably third Sunday here, I think I slipped up and said Bible Baptist. Looking for Carrie. Where are you at? Oh, the Carrie. And Carrie said, honey, you said Bible Baptist is one. I did not say Bible Baptist. You said it. And we jumped on live stream. She won. I did say it. But I am so excited. You are here at Cross Point. I'm not sure where I'm at, but I'm at Cross Point tonight and looking forward to being in the Word of God. We have some missionaries here that are here with us tonight. And so thankful that you're in our services. Those of you who are busy with us, we've been in a series now. This is part 7 of that series of an investment and taking our lives, the lives that we have, this little short, just tiny bit of time that we have on this earth, and making a wise investment out of it. We looked at, first of all, investing our kids and taking our lives and investing our own lives and living for the Lord Jesus Christ. So we began to look at finances and the blessing that it is in tithing. And even this past week, it is still so encouraging to see those who are newly saved, baptized, and at Cross Point Baptist, that they're growing and they're getting this concept of not browbeating someone over 10%, you better tithe, boy, if you don't, here comes the judgment of God. But the blessings that you and I get, I don't even know if I can afford to give to God. But when we begin to realize that it's His already, making that investment, the stories that are coming back, it truly is incredible, the God that we serve. And then we begin to look at why or how can we accomplish these things. And we accomplish them by faith. It's not just, okay, give our lives to the Lord, great, good. Okay, kids, give them to the Lord, and give our finances and tithing. And, oh, it's just easy. No. We begin to comprehend that it does take faith. It's you and I stepping out of the boat and beginning to realize that this entire life that we live down here is by faith. But then why don't we just live by faith? We know God's going to come through. We believe Him and trust in Him that He saved us. We believe and trust Him in so many things. But why do we struggle stepping out by faith then? We begin to look at it and see that it is truly fear that begins to hold us back. It's that fear of failure. That fear of, if I take this step, that I'm going to fail already. But no. It's you and I living our lives so that at the end of our life, if God gives us that length of days, those years down here, we look back at our life and it's not a what if. What if I would have stepped out by faith? What if I would have served God? What if I would have given Him? What if I would have handed my kids over to Him, my finances over to Him, my life over to Him? Man, if I could just go back. But that fear of, if I step out, what if I fail? Then it's over. No, we can overcome that. But then also the fear of rejection. And oftentimes this is what holds us back from giving out the gospel and spreading the gospel across the Indianapolis areas. That fear of rejection, that fear of, if I do this, what if somebody doesn't like it? What if they don't love it? What if they want to move? They want to be my neighbor? What if they get upset with that rejection? But we can overcome. And so now we've been looking at this new life. We understand investment. We understand we do this by faith. We understand that we can overcome the fear, and now we're ready for this incredible life that's called the Christian life. And I'm going to put it this way, and we're going to move forward tonight. Comprehend that the Christian life, the blessings that you and I get out of it, what we're going to be talking about tonight is not, okay, ready for this? It ought not to be unusual. This isn't a life that we live like, okay, sometimes it's great, and every once in a while, like around revival, I feel like the Holy Spirit talks to me, and we're good. No, This is what we're going to call the regular Christian life. It's a new life in Jesus Christ. If you're saved tonight, say amen. Then this is not a life that we live like every once in a while. Like every so often, it's great and it's a full moon out, so I guess I'll live a good life now. No, no. The Christian life that you and I live, we walk in Him, and it's awesome and it's incredible all the time. Anybody agree with that? Amen. It's all the time. Well, I go through bad times. Okay, the ebb and flow of life still happens. If anybody tells you on a televangelist or pastor, you give your life to the Lord and it's just going to be great and you'll never have any problems. You'll be rich and you'll be great. I have to tell you, that's a false prophet. That is a hireling. That is not the Word of God. We're humans. We go through hard times. We have health problems. We go through death. We have trials. We have lost jobs, just as the lost world does. Hold on. Here's your new life. Here's the difference. We have a Savior that walks with us. We have a Savior that never leaves us. Welcome to your new life. Galatians chapter 4, would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word? I'm not going to go through this chapter as we did this past week, but if you're visiting with us, you can go back last week's message as we laid a lot of groundwork in verses number 4, beginning of verse number 4 through 7. So look at Galatians 4. Would you please follow along as I read in verse number 4? Galatians 4, chapter 4, and verse number 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that they might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant. How many are thankful for that tonight? Say amen. Now, I want you to underline that, highlight it. I don't do that in my Bible. Then memorize it. Watch. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then heir of God, how? Well, through Christ. All of this is because of our Jesus. Your new life, my new life, it starts now. Father, thank you for the word. I'm so thankful. As Brother Mancroni said a moment ago, Lord, we what a privilege we have to come in and to sing praise to you. Father, sometimes my heart gets heavy as somebody that doesn't want to sing to their Savior. I don't want to be judgy. I don't want to look around. How come you're not singing? Lord, that's between them and you. I'm just telling you, God, my heart's full. I'm ready to sing praise to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Father, I am thankful tonight that we have a Savior. Lord, I kind of get excited about this passage just because there are some incredible blessings here. So, Father, help us to stay in our time this evening and help us to move forward. But most of all, God, I'm asking you to help us to grow tonight. Lord, do we need to change? Do we have a bad attitude right now? Lord, I ask that you check up on this man's heart, me, Father. Us as a congregation, Lord, do what you do best. Convict, encourage. But Lord, may we be more like you. We love you, Savior. Your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In our passage of Scripture, we saw last week that Paul begins to explain to the church here at Ephesus that they are now freed from the law. Remember, this day that you and I live in, this dispensational age, you and I are no longer under Old Testament law. When a person gets saved, they assume this position of sonship in Christ. Their position changes. You and I, when we get saved, when you and I call upon the name of the Lord, the Bible says we are saved. Therefore, at that moment, the Holy Spirit begins to live and dwell inside of us. You and I have now entered into a relationship of the Father and His children. That means this. You and I are adopted into the family of Christ. Therefore, as a saved individual, if you are born again, you have a biblical testimony of salvation, you know who you are. How do we know who we are? We saw last week, you and I have an inner witness. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Holy Spirit assures you and I that we are saved. Well, Pastor, I've heard this before. Pastor, no one can know 100% that they are saved. And to that, I would say that is not biblical nor doctrinal. You and I absolutely 100% can know that when we leave this earth behind, you and I will spend an eternity with Jesus Christ. Are you thankful for that? Say amen. That's not what I think. That's not what I learned. And my theology degree, that's kind of what we kind of assume. I don't want to assume. Like, I don't want to assume that I'm going to heaven. I don't want to hope that I'm going to heaven. I don't want to think that I'm going to heaven. Friend, I want to know that heaven is going to be my home one day. And when you believe the Word of God, you and I have an inner witness that assures us that you and I are adopted into the family of God. Now, I know we talk about the Holy Spirit. Brother McCrony mentioned it a moment ago. We can kind of get leery and, oh, it's weird. And, oh, it's kind of ecumenical. And let's be really careful. And you know, so a lot of people believe they're slain in the Spirit. Let me tell you something, friend. Just be balanced in the Word of God. We don't have to roll around and bark like dogs and take this to kind of a weird place. But I will tell you this. I'm going to keep preaching the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you and I. You and I know who we are, but we also know what we are. We are the sons of God by this new birth. Therefore, we take on the characteristics of our Father. You and I are born again. Now, therefore, you and I begin to act and be more like our Savior. We are called the sons of God. John chapter 1 and verse number 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Romans chapter 8, verse number 14, for as many as led of the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. When you and I got saved, you and I not only know who we are, but now you and I know what we are, and that is this. We are a born-again Christian changed into the image of God. That means this. We are to be like our Savior. Now, because we are no longer servants, our lives change. Does that mean we don't serve? No, we serve. We don't serve to get saved. We serve because we are saved. Now, hold on. It gets kind of quiet. I know I'm moving fast, but man, I've had two people say that their favorite show's coming on tonight, and I got to stay on time. So, you know, they might have to get right with the Lord a little bit here. So, I'm just totally joking. But understand, you and I have to comprehend and understand from the Word of God that we don't work for our salvation. No, hold on. Sarah didn't sing a moment ago, and Ethan didn't play to try to get on God's good side. So if they die, God forbid tonight, that they'll stand before God and say, "Why should I let you have it?" Well, I don't know if you heard, Lord, but I sang like an angel up there tonight, and so I think that's pretty good to let me in. No. You and I sing not for our salvation, but because of our salvation. We play in the orchestra. We serve around the church, whether it's a welcome team or whether it's teaching a Sunday school class. For pastor, preaching in the pulpit. Like, comprehend this. I'm not preaching for my salvation. I'm preaching because I was called of God after I was saved. It's not by works of righteousness, which we have done. But according to him, it's because of grace. It's because of God. It's because of his Son. He saved us. So now we're like our Savior. So there are some things that change in our life. When you and I become a son and a daughter of God, there are things that come with this new life. And last week we began to look at, number one, the blessings. Number one, the blessings. First of all, we saw the blessing of coming to God anytime we want. Look at verse number 6 with me. The Bible says this. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Now, I'm not going to break this down as we did last week, but a servant must be called before he approaches. As a child, we can go to God anytime we like. That means this, we don't have to, hold on. We don't have to come to church to talk to God. Should we? Yes. But we can go to God at any time. If you believe that, say amen. You can be in your car and talk to God. You can be laying in your bed and talk to God. You can be on a run or on a walk or riding your bike and talk to God. You can be at work and talk to God. You don't have to come to the pastor and the pastor then, well, okay, I heard your petition, so I'll go to God for you. Now, can we pray for each other? Without a doubt. But let me comprehend this. This is where Roman Catholics get far off. There is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. A priest does not have to go on our behalf. A deacon doesn't have to go on our behalf. A Sunday school teacher doesn't go on our behalf. We do not confess sins to man. We confess our sins to Jesus Christ. He is the only one that has the power to forgive you and I. Why? Because he was the perfect lamb that was slain. It was his blood that washes you and I of our sin. Therefore, you and I are able to go to him crying, Abba, Father. Why? We have a relationship with him. Number two, if you write this down, there is the blessing of being free. Look at chapter 4, look at verse number 5. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. You see, a servant is overcome in bondage. A child of the king is set free. No longer are we under the bondage of the law, but you and I are also no longer under the bondage of sin. I am no longer under the bondage of sin. When Jesus came into my heart, talking about Thomas Shepherd, he saved me from that bondage. He broke the chain that was around my neck. He broke the chains of sin that bound me. And because of those sins, one day I would, if I would have not received him, would have had to spend an eternity in a place called hell. But because of my Savior, he broke that bondage. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse number 37, nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Romans 6:14. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For ye are not under the law, but under grace. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 14. Now thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and make manifest the Savior with the knowledge by us in every place. That means this, friend. No matter what you and I are going through, you and I now have a Savior that is able to break the bondage of sin. Does it matter what you're dealing with? Does it matter what you're going through? So oftentimes we hear that, I'm struggling with bitterness. And just to be honest, Pastor, I will never be able to overcome this bitterness. Then I'm going to put it this way. Then you don't know the Jesus that I know. Because he can help you overcome. Been hurt? Absolutely. Abused? Maybe. Can you get through? It's going to be tough. But let me tell you something. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It's not a subject that many like to preach on, but I've brought it up several times in a message we had this past summer. Pornography has overcome not only the lost world, but it has overcome Christian families. It is bondage, friend. It is an addiction. It hurts. It is hurting our younger generation. It is hurting married couples now. It is full in our churches across the nation. Well, what are we going to do? How are we going to overcome this? I'm just telling you, it is so powerful. Boy, once it got its claws in you, it's just about impossible to overcome. But it's not impossible. Now, I know it gets weird, eerie, and nobody likes to talk about this, but let me tell you something. Sin is sin is sin is sin. And you and I have to comprehend that we're no longer under that bondage. No, let me help you out tonight. You don't have to be. You ever notice a Christian? Let me rephrase this. The most miserable people in the world, oftentimes they're not the lost. Oftentimes it's a person that is away from God. The lost world doesn't know our Savior. They've never experienced real peace. What do you think we're seeing in Hollywood over and over and over again? Those committing suicide that are rich and famous and have the likes and the friends. And they, man, their YouTube channel's a million followers. And boy, they've got it all. Why is it that they're wanting to call it quits? Because they don't know the Prince of Peace like you and I know the Prince of Peace. You find somebody that's had a relationship with God. You find somebody that has been in church and they love God. They love being in His Word and they're growing. And all of a sudden, they get away from God. They may look like teenagers. Look up here for just a moment. Teenagers on Instagram and TikTok, they may look like they're having a blast and partying it up in the world is so much fun. Boy, yeah, I want to be like them, but I don't like all these standards and rules and preferences. I don't like coming in and singing the hymns. And boy, it's just so much fun. Let me tell you, online they may look like they're living it up, but if they're truly saved on the inside, they're miserable. You know, you and I don't have to live that life. Pastor, you smile a lot. Shouldn't we? I just feel like you're just always happy. I've heard that this past week. Well, why shouldn't we be? Well, life is down. Did you hear what happened in Ukraine? Did you hear this? And this? Yeah, I heard it all. In fact, I knew it a long time ago. Like when I was a little kid. And this leather-long pastor stood up in North Carolina and began to preach on Revelation. I was probably 7 or 8. I began to understand then, we're probably not going to be around forever. I told you already, I prayed that I'd be able to get married. Like, before I got married, Lord, please do not come back. And He answered my prayer. God loves me. He loves me. Alex, you better start praying, brother. I'm just telling you. The lost world looks at us like, oh, they got to go to church. Oh, they got to sing. They have all these like dress standards. They got all these crazy rules. They can't drink and they can't party. They can't live it up. Oh, my word. When I got saved, I began to experience real freedom. I didn't have to have their drugs. I didn't have to have this world's alcohol. I didn't have to have their parties. I didn't have to have all that. I said, why? Because I have my Savior. And I say tonight, Jesus is enough. He's enough. Also, we start, oh, my brother Ted, I can't believe you do that. You're just such in bondage. You're just such in. No, let me tell you, when Ted got saved, he experienced real freedom. At that moment, the chains were loosed, friend. And as we begin to do, like we preached this morning, when you start giving it to God, you just begin to realize there we can take a whole lot because we're not taking it. We've got it, and we're giving it to the one who loves us. He said, casting all your care upon me. Why? Because I careth for you. All of it we can give to our Savior. There is that blessing of you and I being able to go to Him. There's the blessing of being free, but also, would you write this down? There is the blessing of heirship. Look at chapter 4 and verse number 7. The Bible says this, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir, H-E-I-R, an heir of God through Christ. The ultimate outcome, covering this, the ultimate outcome of our relationship is inheritance of the Father's estate. In the spiritual realm, a person who believes in Jesus Christ is no longer under the law, no longer its slave. Because that person now is the son. He is himself a son. And if a son, then an heir through Christ. You see, a servant has to work for room and board, while a son will one day become an heir to everything that is owed or owned by the Father. In Romans, it says it this way, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also be glorified together. Hold on. You want to know a blessing? Welcome to your new life. That means this. You and I, we are now adopted into the royal family of God. You and I are now alive in Christ. We are a child of the King of Kings. That means this. You and I have got to stop being so gloomy. Be happy. It's okay to rejoice. Lord, Pastor Dan said it tonight. It's okay to lift your hand. I think so many times we get, I'm not making fun of Baptist. I'm an independent fundamental Baptist. I don't have to go into all that. But I will tell you this. At times, we have been scared of the charismatics. It has so scared us into, oh my word, nobody. So be quiet. Ben, that's too loud. Oh, shh. those trumpets. Don't play them too loud. Now, let's be quiet. Let's sing this hymn. Everybody, just be stoic, sad, depressed. Now, we are serving God. You might want to go into the Psalms and begin to read. Sing unto me with a loud song. Sing unto me a new song. Lift your hands. Lift your hands. You know what that means? Go into a ball game. Anybody's team still in? I know Michigan's still in. My Tar Heels are still in. There's a couple teams that are still in. Dude, do we go to a ball game and, everybody be quiet? Fans. I said fans. Sit down. Be quiet. Eat your hot dog. And let's just cheer for our team. Rah, rah. No. We're fanatics. You say, well, that is your preference. For instance, I've stepped in this pulpit. I've never preached my preference. I'm giving you what the Word of God says. If we can't get excited that we are now heirs of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, then I'm going to ask you, what does excite you? It's okay to get excited in a song service. Did you see the pastor's wife raise her hand? Yeah, it's biblical. Dad was singing out tonight. Yeah, he has a Savior. Did you hear George? George, I love that guy. Understand, it's a blessing. Family, what I'm trying to get at tonight is this. If we really truly begin to act like our new life, people would want what we have. And when they don't, what's wrong? People ought to want our marriages because they're biblical. People should want, Pastor Fitzgerald, our joy. Why? We're joyful. Well, does it matter? Excuse me. Does it matter what everything is going on around us? And trust me, do I complain? Absolutely, I complain. Carrie said, oh my word, gas has come down to $4.10. That's awesome. Like, that's where we're at nowadays? That's like literally, that's where we're at. Tommy came in, true story. Tommy came in and said, Dad, people are getting gas for $1.25. I said, where? I mean, I was like jumping up. Let's go fill up. He said, yeah, Taco Bell. Oh, my word. I wanted to tweet it out. It was so good. It was so good, man. Some of you will get that later. If somebody starts laughing in 10 minutes, you're going to be like, oh, I get it, gas. Okay, anyways, understand that. No matter what's going on, like, do you see the joy that's in your heart right now? You laughing? You know what? We can have this kind of fun every day. Like, Tom and Liz here are having a good time. Why? They're soaking up their Savior. Do you know that just 2 days ago, he buried his dad? I don't understand how they could be so happy. You know why? Because he didn't say goodbye to his dad. He said, I'll see you soon, Dad. That's the God you and I serve. It's okay to be happy. It's okay to soak up the blessings. It's okay to, hey, I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. We serve a God that's alive and true and real, and He speaks to you and I. Well, I guess I'll go to the church down the street because there's, okay, fine. Look, have it your way, friend. But look, this is a Burger King. This is a Bible-believing church. And I truly believe that when you and I get on fire for God and begin to understand that we are heirs. That means this, we are sons and daughters of Jesus Christ, and that we're going to see Him one day, and we're going to see His nail-scarred hands, and we're going to see His nail-scarred feet, and you and I get to live with Him forever. When you get a hold of that, it changes your life. You won't be the same. But here's where it changes a little bit, and I'll go through it fast, and we'll be done. you're going to see your 7:30 show, I can assure you. Now watch. There are blessings that come. And we love it. We love preaching about it. We smile. We soak it up. But we also have to comprehend that because we are children of the King, there are the blessings, but then secondly, there are responsibilities that come. There's the responsibility that you and I have in our Savior. Now, hold on, hold on, no, hold on, watch. There's the responsibility that you and I have to obedience. You see, the Bible says it like this. Be therefore followers of God, watch now, as dear children. Okay, so we're now sons of God. We have a relationship with Him. The Holy Spirit lets us know this. But with those blessings, also it comes obedience. The Bible puts it this way. Wherefore, gird up your loins of your mind and be sober. The hope of the end of the grace that be, watch now, to be brought unto you at the revelation of Christ. Now watch the wording. This is very important. As obedient children. Not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust of ignorance, but as He has called you, watch, as He has called you, is holy. Now watch, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, this is where 2022, this is where Christendom truly gets off the rails. This is where we see today many who will take the Word of God either out of context or not in context at all. Yes, praise God, I'm saved, and well, I got my fire insurance, and so I'm going to heaven. So now I can live any way that I want to live. No, 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 hold on. False friend. Should we sin more that grace may abound? God forbid. There is a responsibility that comes. What's the word? As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. That means, yes, you and I have now been changed. You and I are different. There is a responsibility that comes. That is, you and I comprehending. Are we saved? Yes. Do we get the blessings of God? Yes. Are we happy and joyful and we have peace? And boy, are we welcome to this new life? Yes. But here's where we stop. I could do and live any way that I want to live. Actually, that's false. Yeah. Now, hold on. That's the Sunday night crowd. So here's what we're going to do, Brother Titus. Oftentimes, what we'll do is we jump on board. And here's where pastor can say, you know, we need to be obedient. You know, we don't believe in abortion. We believe abortion is wrong. And homosexuality is wrong. And gay and lesbian. And here's, and oftentimes, what we could do is maybe get an amen and draw, you know, we got, woo, praise the Lord. We're not, okay. Hold on. We have a responsibility to be obedient in those things. But we also have a responsibility to be like our Savior. You're still walking around with a grudge. You have a responsibility in your Savior to allow Him to help you overcome that. You still harboring unforgiveness. Roberto, I'm telling you what, back in 1987, you said this about my family, and I've never overcome it. Hold on. You're a child of the King. Absolutely. You say, yes, sir, got a Bible salvation. Going to heaven one day. Bless God. Can't wait. Okay. You have a responsibility to forgive. But you don't understand what Roberto did to me. Be kind one to another. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. It's a responsibility that you and I have. That responsibility is not on, hold on, everybody ready for this? Both of your seatbelt. It's not on the church. It's on us. It's amazing, Pastor Blake in the back. It is unbelievable. The amount of parents, and I was a youth pastor, so I could say this. This is not cross point. This is years ago. As a youth pastor, it was unbelievable. I had kids underneath the Word of God for about an hour, 30 minutes on Sunday morning and 30 minutes on Sunday night. The rest is games, everything else. But because of that 1 hour that I had with their kids twice a week, it's my fault that their kids turned out the way that they did. No. Where's the responsibility? Pastor, you just got to talk to my husband. You got to get him right. He needs somebody to be on him, and he needs somebody. You just got to talk to my wife, and they need somebody that's there, and they need accountability, and they got to get back to church. And it's the way we're teenagers, but we need everybody to be calling them, everybody to be writing them, everybody to, they're just bitter against God. And we go, okay, fine, great. Look, I'm all for it. Let's do some counseling. Let's get in. Let's pray over them, but I'm just here to tell you, hold on. Just like the prodigal son that came to himself, sometimes that's got to be the responsibility of the Christian. The person who is away from God has a responsibility of obedience. And that obedience is not through someone else. That obedience is not through the pastor, through the assistant pastor, through the deacons, through the church. No, the responsibility is through the son or the daughter that has a relationship with God. If this makes sense tonight, say amen. It's a responsibility of obedience, okay? Now here's where let's get down to it, and then we're going to be done. So how do we know what to obey? Well, Pastor, I guess that's your job. Okay, yeah, absolutely. As the under-shepherd, that's part of it. Feed the flock. That's my responsibility as a pastor. Feed the flock. But let me just say something. 38 years old. I got Pastor Fitzgerald. I got Pastor Defoe. I got Pastor Dan, who works with me right here, who's been saved a lot longer than I have. They've been preaching a lot longer than I have. Okay, so Pastor, I mean, you don't have all the life experience. You've never raised a teenager. Check it out. I never have. Tommy turns 13 in September 11th, so I will be able to not have that notch on my belt that I have now been raising a teenager. But let me just say, I've never raised a teenager. I've never raised a college student. So how am I going to preach? How are you going to preach to a drug addict? I've never done drugs. How you doing, Pastor? I'm going to preach the Word of God. See, for a long time, friends, we've gotten off on what we want, and here's obedience, and this obedience needs to look right for you, and it needs to look right for you, and it needs to look right for you, and it needs to look right for you. Well, who says? Well, me. Okay, I'm not super interested in you. I love you, but I want to know what's right and true and will never change. Excuse me? Hold on. Don't tune out. And has never erred. What's never erred? The very Word of God. You and I have a responsibility. How do we become Christian? We have this new life. Okay, I feel so good. But all of a sudden I get home and I'm tempted and I run back to this former lust and I run back to sin and I keep thinking, Pastor, I don't understand. How do you guys do it? How does Cross Point do it? How do we not keep running back to the world or to the vomit that I was saved out of? There's only one way. You got to get in the Word of God. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Do you know where your sin starts, where my sin starts? It starts in the mind. You let Jesus take every room of your mind. I'm here to tell you, friend, welcome to your new life. It'll change you. You want to be a good husband? Yes, sir. I want to be good. To get in the Word of God. You want to be a good mom? Oh, I want to be a good mom. Get in the Word of God. You want to be a good grandparent? I do. Get in the Word of God. You want to be, who wants to be an obedient Christian? Would you say amen tonight? Amen. Then get in the Word of God. Because this Bible, friend, my goodness, I'm a Bible believer. Truly, I am. I believe it's inerrant, inspired, it's preserved for us today. Let me tell you something, friend. When you get in this Bible will transform your life for good. It's not just every once in a while we experience that. No, it's every day we get to breathe our Savior. Soak him up. Soak him in. Let him change your life because there's a lot of blessings. But you and I also have a great responsibility. Welcome to your new life.